We're going to turn to the book of Isaiah, please. The book of Isaiah and chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And we will read together the first seven verses of the chapter. Isaiah 9 and the verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the Galilee of the nations. Verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy of in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garment rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And we will end there, knowing the Lord will bless the reading of his precious, infallible truth. We will seek the Lord's face together briefly in prayer. We need the Lord's help. Let us ask the Lord for that help this evening. Our gracious Father, we confess our need of thee. As we come to thy word, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And we pray then that you will take your word again this evening and seal it to our hearts. And we pray that each one of us will be built up through it, that we will indeed be blessed through the ministry of your truth. And we pray that there will be a word in season for every one of us. So grant that help of the Holy Spirit, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. One of my favorite texts of Scripture is James chapter 1 and the verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men up liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And that text is a favorite because so often I do lack wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And in this text then there is a promise of wisdom being given. He giveth to all men liberally. It shall be given him. And I'm sure that feeling of the need of wisdom and sensing the need of wisdom is not unique to me. The counseling industry has become a vital part of Western life in recent decades. People constantly feel their need of advice. When they come to different difficulties in life, they feel need of wise counsel. Now, sadly, in our day, well, I suppose in every generation, but certainly in our time, the advice of counselors is not always wise. You think of the advice that children are being given in our land today when they have confusion over their gender, their identity. Much of the advice given in schools today is not wise. Or children who are traumatized by the claims of climate movements, The advice given to those children is so often not good advice. Very often when we feel our need of advice, we say, I'm in the dark. And so on this issue, I'm in the dark. And it's interesting that Isaiah begins this chapter by speaking of people that have walked in darkness, but they have now seen a great light. Verse 2. And verse 1 is speaking then of part of the region of Galilee. They had been in darkness, but the one who is the light came and he ministered to them. But thinking of that illustration of darkness, it is, of course, speaking of the darkness of sin there in verse 2. The darkness of spiritual ignorance. Christ is the light. And so certainly, chiefly what's in view there is the gospel itself. But isn't it true that through our Christian lives, we need light? We need wisdom. We feel ourselves to be in darkness on certain issues. And so how appropriate then that in this great prophecy of verses 6 and 7, there is a prophecy concerning the Counselor. This child born, the Son given, Isaiah says he will be a Counselor. I mentioned last Lord's Day that the words wonderful, Counselor, in our authorized version are two titles of the Lord. So here are two separate titles. Christ is wonderful. Christ is Counselor. In some of the modern versions, these are brought together into one title. Wonderful Counselor. And there are different views about which is right. As I said last week, while only one of them is a correct translation, they are both right in the sense that when we take Christ as Wonderful Counselor, he certainly is a wonderful counselor, though I've been taking these as two separate titles of our Lord. Our Lord is wonderful. Our Lord is the counselor. If you were to go to a counselor for advice, you would want that counselor to be sympathetic, wouldn't you? You would want that counselor to show kindness. You want to come away with a message of hope. What a kind and gracious counselor we have. What a sympathizing and sympathetic high priest we have. Christ is our counselor. As we think of this, I want to bring three things to your attention this evening. First of all, Christ's prudence. Christ is the counselor. We see his prudence, his wisdom. If you were to go to a counselor, you would want to go to someone that's wise. Or in any particular dilemma that you have, perhaps it's not a formal counselor that you go to, but you go to someone you trust. Well, you're not going to go to a fool unless you're a fool. If you're wise, you will go to someone that is wise. If you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8, these are words concerning our Lord Jesus, where our Lord is spoken of in terms of wisdom. Christ is wisdom personified. And in Proverbs chapter 8 and the verse 14, Christ speaking says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. In verse 12 of that chapter, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. The Lord is wise. As far as secular counselors are concerned, they may go to college or university to study. And undoubtedly, there are many things that they learn in their studies that are helpful in dealing with people. And yet, I think we all agree that the best counselors, the best advisors, are those that have had various life experiences, that have encountered various difficulties themselves and seen various difficulties resolved, and surely in the work of the church, some of our ministers are men of great wisdom. They have witnessed many different circumstances. They are men who can give counsel because they themselves have learned. They have been taught. They have observed. But here our counselor is a counselor of great excellence. He has not been taught at university. In his divine nature, he never needed instruction. His name shall be called Counselor. He is wise in his nature. If you look with me in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse 13, Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse 13, we'll actually read the verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and measured out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of knowledge and path of judgment, and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? If you take this word counsel and counselor and trace it through the Word of God, you'll see that very often it is connected with the subject of creation. And in this chapter, we read, that's Isaiah 40, we read of creation and the wonders of creation. Verse 22 there, is it he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth? Christ is the creator and the one who is in control of his creation. He stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain. Verse 26 of that chapter, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. Who instructed God that this would be the best way to create? Who instructed God this is the best way to uphold that creation? Not a one. I read last week from Job 38, 31. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Who instructed God on the creation of the constellations? Isn't it always a marvel when we read about discoveries of scientists concerning space? Things that amaze us. Who instructed the Lord? The Lord knows all things. He is then the counselor of excellence. In Romans 11:34, who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? And Christ then is God. Remember, in this prophecy, we see both our Lord's humanity, a child is born, but we see his deity, his son is given, and none can give instruction unto the Lord. When Isaiah then brought this great prophecy unto us, there's a counselor. We do well to heed his counsel. His counsel is always right. Some of you may have seen that the Babylon Bee did a piece recently on advice for husbands. They came across something from the 1970s on advice for husbands. And as you might imagine, some of the advice sounds a little bit different than husbands may be instructed today. Some might say that old advice was not right. Certainly the advice is not always the same, but our Lord's advice is always right. It's always right. In 1 Samuel chapters 15 to 17, we read of Ahithophel. Remember, he was one of David's trusted counselors. A man then, presumably, that was known for giving good advice. Undoubtedly, David had trusted Ahithophel on many occasions. But he was disloyal. He was a traitor. In the rebellion of Absalom, Ahithophel sided with Absalom against David. As such then, he actually pointed us to Judas Iscariot in a number of different ways. Both of them committed suicide in the end. As you read those chapters, the point is surely being set forth that Ahithophel's counsel was not always wise. Not always wise. Christ's advice is always correct. I remember after the death of Solomon, his son Rehoboam was seeking advice on the direction that the kingdom should take. And so he listened to what the old men had to say, men that had served his father. He ignored the advice of those older counselors. He heeded the advice of some young men, greatly to his detriment. It's important that young people and us all are careful who we listen to, who we take advice from. Christ's advice is always wise. Never a flaw in it. The first Psalm says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." How blessed is the man that doesn't have the ungodly as his counselor. And to turn it around then, how blessed is the man who has Christ as his counselor. The world, they give us advice that will take us the wrong way. Surely even in the Church of Christ, we need to be careful who we take advice from. There was a delegation last week to some of the hierarchy of the Church of England urging them to retain the biblical teaching on marriage in Church of England primary schools. And what a tragedy that a delegation like that was needed. You would expect that the church would hold fast to the Word of God. But rather, there are those who have gone to the world for counsel. What do we do when a child tells us, a boy tells us that they're a girl? Where do we go for advice? We're to go to the Lord. Psalm 33:10 says, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught." He brings it to nothing. And perhaps tonight, as you come to the end of another year, and a new year lies before you, you feel the need of counsel. What am I going to do in this situation? Praise God. Christ came to be the counselor. He came to be the one that would show us the way. And praise God, this counselor knows all about us. Remember that woman at the well, the woman of Samaria? After she had talked with the counselor, she went back to the man. In the city, she said, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did." He told me all that I ever did. He knows all about me. Remember how Simon Peter, that is, he said to the Lord in John 21:15, "Lord, thou knowest." You know that I love you. You know my flaws. You know my failures. The Lord knows. And surely then this title, the Counselor, is one that exhorts the unconverted then to seek the Lord. And for the Counselor, he reveals to the sinner his need. Didn't he reveal to the rich young ruler his need? The rich young ruler said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. But the Lord put his finger upon the matter that was amiss. He was a covetous man. Go sell all that thou hast and give the money to the poor. The Lord was a wise counselor. And so the Lord would show the unconverted, you need salvation. And a great provision has been given. And the Lord is also there to counsel the professor. Those who profess Christianity and perhaps lack reality. Right into the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3. The Lord said, you say you're rich. You say that you have need of nothing, but actually you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. And in Revelation 3:18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. The Lord says, I am here to be the counselor. Come to reality. Praise God to every Christian tonight. The Lord says, I counsel thee. What a great counselor. Christ's prudence. I want to see then, secondly, with you, Christ's purpose. Christ's purpose. For this title, counselor, it not only has the idea of someone that advises, but it actually carries the idea of someone who decrees. Someone who decrees or someone who establishes. And if you turn over then a couple of pages to Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And the verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass as I have purposed. And the word here translated purposed is this same word, counseled. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. Verse 26, this is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the land that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed. And again, it's the same word. The Lord of hosts has purposed, and who can disannul it? His hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? The Lord has purposed. The Lord has decreed. Who can prevent Almighty God fulfilling his own eternal purpose? Who can prevent the providential dealings of God bringing about his eternal purpose? Not a one. Men, of course, will try. As Christ then is given that title, Counselor, we see in it his deity, that as the eternal Son of God, he has decreed from all eternity. Isaiah 40 verse 10, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. The Lord fulfills his purpose. Christ then, as the counselor, he has a great purpose, and he will always see to it that his purpose is fulfilled. And he fulfills his purposes for us through providence. So often in our lives we encounter difficulties that we had not anticipated. We get frustrated when things go our way. Maybe we say, I could have been doing without this. The truth is, we could not. The Lord knows what is best. And as the wonderful counselor then, he will have his way. And we are to say then tonight, let me bow before the counselor. May the Lord have his way. May the Lord so wonderfully execute his decree for his glory and for my good. I want to see then with you finally that this title suggests Christ's prophecy. Now, the word counselor is used in the book of Isaiah also to describe prophecy, God's announcement concerning that which is yet to be. Isaiah chapter 42 and the verse 26. No, that can't be right. Isaiah chapter 41 and the verse 26. Who hath declared from the beginning that we may know? And before that we may say he is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth. Yea, there is none that declareth. Yea, there is none that heareth your words. Who hath declared from the beginning? And somewhere in chapter 42 there's also this mention of this word in a prophetic sense. And the Lord then, as the great prophet, speaks of how the future is to be unveiled. The Lord will indeed bring about that which has been decreed, and the Lord is able to speak of it before it comes to pass. And so in the whole context of these two chapters, Isaiah 41 and Isaiah 42, he speaks of that which not only was to take place in the exile, but that which was to happen afterwards, that the Lord would bring back a people again from captivity. The Lord is the great prophet. And remember, in our Lord's own ministry, he showed himself to be the prophet. He spoke of that which was yet to take place. And so he spoke of events that were to take place in AD 70. He looked beyond that to his own coming again. He has declared the future. And tonight we can rejoice he holds the future. He has spoken of what will happen tomorrow. Praise God, he is in control of our tomorrows. In the Psalm 83 in the verse 5, this word counselor is used in a negative sense concerning the ungodly. They have consulted together with one consent. They have counseled together. And so the ungodly can get their best advisors and they can put their heads together and they can, with one consent, consult against the things of God. But it'll only be a talk shop. The Lord knows the end from the beginning. The Lord is the great counselor, has made it clear that all of his enemies will be dealt with. Our Savior will forever be exalted. I trust then that this title of our Lord will be an encouragement to our hearts tonight. His name shall be called Counselor. Going back to my thoughts about wisdom, how could man ever exceed the wisdom of God in providing a Savior? The wisdom of God in providing one who would take our place. What a great counselor. What a great friend. May we grow in knowledge of our great counselor. May the Lord bless his word this evening to all of our hearts.